at the Big Dog Hunt. The Big Dog Hunt. High noon, everybody. Hello again. I'm Joe Stazak, back in the saddle. Been on vacation. Still in vacation mode, but we'll see what we can do to put a good 4 hours together for you. Tyler Zuli behind the glass, taking your calls at 610-632-0975. We are broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Switch with D-Linen today. She's got some golfing requirements she needs to take care of. So I hope she has a good day on the course with her husband. It's a husband-wife type of tournament, I believe. I'm usually here 9 to 12, but enjoying being here with you midday. 10 minutes with Tolly coming up at 1:10. Don Tolleson, that's our a new segment we have. It's usually every Sunday morning at 10:10. Today it's going to be at 1:10. Marcus Hayes coming up at 1:30, Steve Callis at 2:10, and possibly some other guests later in the show. Not a ton going on. I know baseball now has a 60-game season. I think it's kind of laughable, to be honest, how baseball missed an opportunity when they were the only show in town, or could have been the only show in town, and they just couldn't get their act together. So now we have 60 games, which is just a little above a third of a normal season. And all the facilities, the spring training facilities, are shutting down because the COVID is raging, namely down in, you know, Philly land, down in Florida. They shut that down. A couple more cases came out today. Some members of the staff. Red Sox have come down with some cases. No one's saying who. A couple other teams have reported. Colorado Rockies have a couple cases of the COVID. I said this a long time ago, and I'm going to stick with it. I am not sure these restarts will find their way to completion. Listen, in theory, first of all, is it a good idea? No, of course it's not a good idea. Not because of what's going on, especially, hey, let's start our league again in the state that on Friday had 7,000 new cases of the COVID virus and growing. Yeah, let's go to Florida. That's a good idea. Let's hit Florida. They seem to have things under control. I think, what's the number for, 16 players of 302 NBA players, nameless for the most part, have the virus. Not a huge percent, but it's there. And they have a manual about, 600 pages long of what to do, what not to do. Problem is, you're going to have Disneyland workers coming in and out, free to go as they please. NBA players will be under lockdown. Do you really think the NBA players are going to abide by the protocol all the time? Come on. You know what NBA players are like. You think you're going to keep them in a hole for 3 months? They're going to be sneaking out, trying to go hit some clubs. I don't know if the clubs are opening. I don't know what the deal is down there, what's going on, but they're not going to want to hang in for 3 months in a bubble. They're always trying to bend the rules. A lot of these guys don't take this seriously. I just am very concerned considering the numbers are still raging in the state of Florida and other states, Texas. The baseball, the Major League Baseball, is comprised of 10 Major League teams in Florida, Texas, Arizona, and California, and those have the highest rate of the COVID virus right now. You see what I'm getting at? Having said that, it's lost my luster. It's lost its luster, I should say, for me, in terms of, are these real seasons now? Are we really going to coronate and celebrate champions of these, I don't even know what to call them, these mini restarts? It's been 5 months. That in itself is a hockey season. Hell, by the time this thing gets going, they might as well have waited till the next season came around, except for baseball. Yeah, baseball would have really shot themselves in the foot if they had nothing this year. If they had zilch. As of now, they have 60 games. They couldn't come to an agreement. They fought over money. The optics were terrible. They missed a great opportunity. It's baseball. And baseball is dying. It's dying in terms of popularity. So what are they doing now? Every half inning of an extra inning game, a runner will start at second base. What? You can't be serious. Are they going to implement a 10-run rule next? What else is going to happen in baseball where they can conjure up and kind of fudge the rules to keep the games quicker? There are other ways to keep the games quicker than to sacrifice the integrity of the game? Really? Starting with a runner at second base every half inning? In principle alone, that's offensive to me. In principle alone. I like the fact they're trying to speed up the game. They're horrendous. 4 and 5 hour games, really? 4 and 5 hour games. Think about that. And it's baseball. Baseball, almost by definition, is kind of slow. I love the game. I don't need 162 of them. I really get into it around September, to be honest. Back in the day when the Phillies, I mean, my era of Phillies baseball, well, I had two eras, but the one I really grew up in was 76 to 83, and I listened to every game. I had my transistor radio with me. I would feign illness and stay home and listen to a game if they played the Cubs and it was an afternoon game. Every inning, every pitch, that was me back in the day. Now it's, you know, and it's like that with the other sports too in terms of the regular seasons. If they don't mean much, they don't mean much to me. Now I am all dialed in come playoff time. Like baseball to me, it's okay. It was great in the 2008 era. I mean, that was fun. I mean, three run home runs galore. You know, 10-run games, offense was humming, pitching was locked down, 103 wins, a championship, two World Series appearances. That was fun every night. You know, they've been terrible since, and I don't know if this team is going to excite anyone. I think they're better. They're getting better. They've collapsed the last 2 years. I still think pitching is going to be their problem. It's not a marathon anymore. It's a sprint. So we'll see. Again, in the last 2 years, if it was a 60-game season, the Phillies would have been in good shape. Like the fact Joe Girardi's in town. Binder Joe, they used to call him in New York. With all his, you know, stats and scouting reports and statistics. I like that new addition. They need to take care of JT Realmuto pronto. Andrew McCutchen's back, healthy. Bryce Harper's ready to go. I don't know what to expect from the Phillies. I don't expect a ton because who do they bring to their pitching staff? Zach Wheeler? Okay. Improvement. But I don't see much improvement elsewhere. We'll see if Aaron Nola becomes Aaron Nola of 2 years ago. I still think they need starting pitching help. You know, but we'll see. I just think the baseball season, if you're going to coronate a champion after a 60-game season, I mean, you look last year at some of the teams, the Nationals were like 17 games under 500 after 60 games. You know, oftentimes it takes a whole season for a team to kind of find themselves. But no excuses. It is what it is. You only have 60 games this year. Remember in 2011 when the Cardinals knocked off the Phillies in the NLDS, they were 10.5 games out in August. They needed 162 games. And as I recall, the Phillies kind of shot themselves in the foot, I think, by sweeping the Braves the last series of the season, and that put them in a position to play the Cardinals. You don't know that at the time, but it turned out not to be a good move. Still should have won. But anyway, I'm not all that thrilled with what's going on. Like I haven't heard from Gary Bettman. Has anyone seen Gary Bettman? Check out the latest milk cartons. Anyone heard from him? What's going on with hockey? I know Austin Matthews has the COVID. So now one of the NHL stars is sick. They haven't come up with the hub cities yet. I believe probably one will be in Canada, one will be in the U.S. Although I know Canada has a problem, with the U.S. citizens crossing the border because, you know, we're basically ground zero with this thing right now. But I haven't heard from him. I don't know what's going on. I know basketball starts, July 30th. Baseball, I think, August 1st. So we still have a month to talk about nothing in particular. But to me, people said before, like a couple months ago when there was talk of the restart, will there be asterisks next to the champions, the respective champions of these leagues? I said, no, why should there be? Sure, you took a little hiatus and came back and finished the season, but it's been 5 months now. There's been such a disconnect. There has to be a complete restart, complete spring training. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with the NFL and training camp. Did you hear that Demoris Smith and the NFL PA came out with basically a warning telling their players to not work out together in unsanctioned workouts? Brady snubbed his nose at him. Brady's still doing it down there. Brady's having two-hour workouts with his teammates at some high school. So is, what's his name? Quarterback from Matt Stafford. A couple other quarterbacks in the league have gotten together with their teammates, have paid no mind to the growing problem that is the COVID, especially in Florida. I don't know where to fall on that. You know, to me, if it was me, I'd probably do what Brady's doing, to be honest with you. I mean, I take this seriously, but I don't know. I think working out with, like, you know, six of your teammates and no one seems to be symptomatic and maybe keeping your distance on the field, I think that's okay. But a lot of NFL players are still doing it, disregarding the warning. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's a growing problem. I don't even know if we're going to call it a second wave. This first wave, it's still growing in a lot of states. Now it's down the shore. Okay, there's outdoor seating now. That was cool. Had to wear your masks, like, you know, when you walk to the table, but didn't have to wear them while you were sitting down at dinner. We had some dinners down there. in Cape May. You had to go into stores, which were open, wear the mask. So it's, you know, it's becoming a little more civilized. Things are getting back to normal. But there are states, again, like Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, still exploding. Forget about a second wave. They haven't taken care of the first wave. That's why, in theory, I get it. Sports, I don't know if it's necessary, but it's almost essential for positive mental health. Like, we as Americans, we're into our sports. It's an escape. It's a way to bring families together. You talk about Sundays around here. You know what most people are doing on Sundays around here as a family or as a gathering of friends? Watching the Eagles. It brings cities, it brings communities together. Sometimes it brings the country together. You know, the COVID has been a physical problem, but not having sports has affected people mentally. I know that. It's uplifting. Watching your sports teams, getting into your sports teams, getting behind your teams. So in theory, yeah, it's nice that they're coming back. I just think that it's probably too soon. And I think you're going to find that out. I'd be surprised if every one of these leagues makes it to the end unscathed. I just think you're waiting to see a team like the Bucks make the conference finals or the NBA finals, and all of a sudden there's an outbreak, 6 to 8 of them come down with it. I assume you're not going to play with your subs and decide the championship that way. You'd have to shut it down. I would think, you know, I know baseball now has a 40-man roster, and a lot of the teams are going to rely on their depth if a lot of their more primary players happen to come down with the COVID. I just think there's a bad moon rising for this thing with the way I see the numbers. You can't argue with the numbers. It's like the housing market in 2008. It was a mathematical certainty that it was going to collapse. It wasn't speculation. If people took the time to actually examine the housing market at that time, this to me, I don't know if it's a mathematical certainty, but to me, it leans that way. Just look at the statistics. So, I mean, we'll see. I think the NBA did not do themselves any favor by inviting the extra, 6 teams that were within several games, how many games of last place in the conference to play. I know they're trying to get Zion some airtime, but I think more teams you bring into the mix, into the bubble, the higher the risk. And again, that's a money thing. So they just threw caution to the wind because of money and the face of the league. They wanted to get Zion some airtime. You know, and those teams, the Sacramento Kings, the Trailblazers, the Zion's team, they're 3.5 games out. What are they playing? Eight games when they come back? And what's that mean for the 76ers? I heard Dee and Connor talking about what to expect out of the 8 games. One said 5-3. I think Connor said 6-2. Neither would surprise me. I'd probably go with 5-3 there. Charles Barkley came out and said that he believed the Sixers. He thought the Sixers would win the whole thing earlier in the year. Then he came out and ripped Joel Embiid for not having, you know, that fire. And now he's saying they're one of the sleeper teams because they have, except for Giannis, they have the two best players on a team in the conference. Yeah, I agree with that. I just think they're a flawed team, unfortunately. I think there are too many flaws to overcome. I know they've only played, of the games they've played this season so far, 19 games together. Not a lot of games for your starting five to play together. To find out where you are or how good you are. But I still see flaws. And I hope I'm wrong. And they will be rested. Ben Simmons, although I heard, still isn't 100%. I thought he would be. You have to ask yourself about the crowd situation, too. Invincible at home, 29-2. There's going to be no fans there. Terrible on the road, 10-24. There's going to be no fans there. And the question was asked earlier in the previous show, who would you like to play in the first round? I'm going 4-5. I don't care who it is. I want Milwaukee in the second round. Why, you must ask? Because I'd rather get them early than have them continue to get better and up to speed and better and better. I'd rather face Milwaukee as soon as possible. Having said that, I know the Sixers beat them handily in Milwaukee on Christmas Day. It's a regular season game. Did they match up well against them? I don't know. I think Milwaukee's a machine, and I think they're on a mission, and I wouldn't want to play them. If I had my druthers, I would rather not play them, but if I had to play them, I'd rather play them early. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. On the other side, we're going to talk about all-time draft busts. There's a couple anniversaries today, both in basketball that Tyler Zuli came up with, brought to my attention. And Tyler Zuli will be speaking with me for the rest of the show as my partner. He's also the producer today. You can talk to me through him. He's the gatekeeper, 610-632-0975. And we're talking Sixers basketball. Who would you like to see them play in the first round? I don't care. I really don't. They've done well against the Celtics this year. If that's the case, I'll take a 4-5 because I want to play Milwaukee in the second round. That's just me. Other people, I think I heard Connor say no, he'd rather see Milwaukee in the third round because he doesn't want to see the Sixers get bounced in the second round for the third straight year. That doesn't matter to me as much as it gives the Sixers, I think, a better chance to beat Milwaukee if they play them earlier. That's just me. I don't know for sure. We're going to have some experts on the show later in the program. We'll also hear from Tyler Zuli and his thoughts on the other side. Got to take our first break. Joe Stajak here at 4 o'clock today, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, welcome back to the show. Joe Stajak in the house. Tyler Zuli behind the glass. Tyler, you said you agreed with me on something. Can you expound on that? In break, you told me this.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that you said that really is my big worry is that these sports that are resuming from the bubble of the NBA, which I think is the safest of the situations, to Major League Baseball and the NFL, who are presumably just going to play within their stadiums, their ballparks, whatever you want to call them, albeit no fans, but still going to do a lot of travel. There is an inherent concern for me that at least one of these leagues are going to run into that issue of a second wave of infection And what's the what is the strategy from there? Is it like you mentioned? Do they shut down again? Is it you play with who's available? I just have a lot of questions upon return. The NBA is probably the safest, but the other leagues I'm still kind of worried about.
You know, the NBA doesn't, as far as I know, does not have a contingency plan for if that happens. I don't believe they have a contingency plan if, like, say, like I mentioned, the Bucks, six players come down with the virus in the conference finals or the NBA finals. No one has come up with a plan. What do you do at that point? There's still some things that they haven't thought of.
There's just too many hypotheticals, unanswered questions that I am very, very concerned about. Because I can look at myself and I can look at you and I can look at an individual person and say there are steps to take to avoid contact, to avoid putting yourself at risk. That's at the individual level. That's assuming you, you know, keep it safe distance, don't do anything overly unsafe, wear your mask in public, those kind of things. This is a group of many, many people of many different ages and things like that that have different, I guess, I don't want to say infection rates, but have different chances of catching a virus or being infected. And I guess infection rate would be the way to use it. But it's just such a large group of people to me that I'm so worried that something is bound to happen.
I mean, I don't want to say it's a mathematical certainty, but the way things are going, the NBA, okay, they're in a bubble, but they are also in a hot spot. I mean, Florida had 7,000 new cases on Friday. 7,000 new cases. So far, the coronavirus has killed 120,000 Americans. Twice the number of soldiers killed in Vietnam. I mean, this thing's for real. And I'm not saying that anyone's taking it too lightly, but I think that, you know, some of these leagues are throwing caution to the wind. I really do. I know there are no fans and there's, you know, 100-page manual. I mean, you can't hug. You can't high five in baseball. Do you know you can't lick your fingers and touch the baseball if you're the pitcher? You have to have a wet rag in your pocket.
And that's something that Joe Torti and I discussed earlier in this week is, you know, that goes from a safety precaution to, and the first thing that I thought of when you talk about a wet rag is how many different ways are these pitchers going to cheat?
Right.
You know, and I understand that it is a one-time circumstance and maybe the league is just going to accept its flaws and make it and prioritize safety, which is smart. But, you know, I think about it. I'm like, you say wet rag. You didn't say a rag soaked in water, you know, or dipped in water. It's just a wet rag. What is the substance on said rag? Who knows?
Right. Who knows?
The era of the spitball may be back for 60 games.
It leaves it open to, not interpretation, but it leaves it open to potential cheating.
Well, and you think about it too, you know, I've always been, when it comes to pitching specifically, more so than any other sport or anything like that, I've always looked at pitching as a, let me see how much I can get away with. Because it's such a refined action. Mm-hmm. You know, pitching is, you're supposed to make it repetitive and the same thing. So I think, and not even just from a, do I put something on the rag? Do I have something underneath my hat or on my glove? I mean, things along the lines of, if I'm left-handed, how far can I, you know, drag that front foot before it becomes a balk? How can I deceive a runner or anything, you know, anything to get you an upper hand? Those are nuanced stuff that you just try to see how far you can push an umpire. This is something that if it goes unchecked, I mean, you could have Vaseline, you could have different fluids. Who knows?
Yeah, no, I agree. It certainly leaves it open for those things to be a possibility. And the manual is so, I don't know if anyone's actually going to read the whole thing. It's so intricate with every little detail they have about, you know, leaning against the rail in the dugout, wiping it clean, and it's... we'll see. You know, like you said, NBA, it's probably the safest because they're in the bubble. It's a self-contained situation. Baseball's not. Football's not. Although football still has some time. Although it's almost July 1st, which is the same month that training camp starts, albeit late in the month. So football's right around the corner. We're going to find out how this affects football. And I know Troy Vincent swore that there'd be fans in the stands when football started. I don't know if that's going to happen now. Again, I don't know if a second wave, if we should even be talking about a second wave, because we haven't cleared the first wave. And in a lot of states, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Well, Tyler, you mentioned something before the show, which I thought was interesting in terms of, and we've been talking about basketball today, and I've always thought this was fascinating. 13 years ago, the NBA draft took place.
Yep.
And Kevin Durant and Greg Oden were, you know, they were the top two picks. And Portland had the first pick, and they took Greg Oden. And that turned out to be a disaster because he was always hurt. He was great at Ohio State, and, you know, Kevin Durant was phenomenal at Texas in his first year, and you didn't know which way to go there. And, you know, that was turned out to be an incredible bust. And then 7 years ago, Cleveland, who had like four number one picks in like 6 years, and they took Anthony Bennett seven years ago?
Yep, 7 years ago today.
Another incredible bust, which kind of kept them down. It set them back a little bit. So, you know, the question I want to throw out there is, you know, some of the biggest busts in sports in terms of highly touted draft picks. It can be basketball, can be football, you know, hockey. You know, no one really knows about hockey or baseball, but so really it comes down to football or basketball. How about you? Some of yours?
Yeah, and it's funny too, because we've gotten a lot of interaction on Twitter so far. And a lot of the responses are, well, why would you leave off X, you know, X pick, right? Why would you not do Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan? Or how about Markelle Fultz? And the reason we picked these two specifically is because it's an on this date, right? It's happened today. We know there are a ton of draft busts, but sure. we're just for clarification's sake, we're just picturing these two because it's on this day in history. So for anybody that's tweeting out like, why would you leave out Sam Bowie? It's just because of that particular reason.
Speaking of, I mean, is it amazing that Portland also for, you know, passed over Michael Jordan for Sam Bowie?
Yeah, it's an unfortunate run of history for that team.
That's two major misses on Hall of Famers.
Maybe a legitimate reason as to why they only have one NBA title.
Incredible. Yeah, of course it was against the Sixers.
Of course.
Of course. Sixers had a 2-0 lead. A little before your time, but do you remember that at all?
Highlights and history. And you know me, I'm a sports history nerd.
Yes, you are.
To answer your question, though, I think that for me, the one that I think would jump out almost immediately, and it's because of the fact that there was no salvaging this pick, is Danny Watkins. And you know, because you can justify a selection of a lot of guys. Like, even you can justify the selection of Freddie Mitchell. You can easily justify the selection of a guy like Markelle Fultz. I'm still to this day trying to justify the selection of Danny Watkins. And I can't come up with a good answer. Can't come up with a good answer.
Like John Harris when Ray Rhodes took John Harris in the first round, 15th overall. He's supposed to be a third, fourth round pick. What? You know, you just wonder sometimes. I mean, Brian Bosworth, Andre Ware. I'm talking about NFL guys. Kajana Carter, first overall. Ryan Leaf, who's also in some more trouble with the law right now. Tim Couch, Akili Smith, right after Donovan. Joey Harrington, Charles Rogers, Jamarcus Russell, Tony Mandarich. I mean, there's been a ton.
Well, and you think about it, a lot of those names that you mentioned, like Jamarcus Russell, was a terrible NFL quarterback.
Terrible.
But you can, like, wrap your head around why he was the first overall pick. Good quarterback at LSU, unbelievable arm. You know, just the strongest arm that many of us have ever seen. So you get the justification. There's just those guys that you can't figure out a reason as to why. Those are the ones that sit with me the most.
Like, I could figure out, like, Tony Mandarich had drug problems and had to stop. He stopped taking steroids, and he wasn't the Tony Mandarich. You know who Tony Mandarich was, right? I don't know if you saw, was it a 30 for 30 or was it an E60 on Tony Mandarich?
Yeah, I think they did a 30 for 30 on him.
At one point, per day, he was taking about 50 oxycodones. 50, that's what he got up to. What? Seriously, 50?
That's crazy.
That's like two bottles worth. It's just, you know, it's a shame. And he was open about everything. And, he was a monster at Michigan State. And he had to stop juicing. And he was on drugs. And it just didn't work out. We got to take a break. Biggest draft, and that can be from the NFL or the NBA, in light of 13 years ago, the Portland Trailblazers took Greg Oden. And I want to get your rationale behind Greg Oden, because you were okay with that at that time, and you will still back that today.
I will defend that pick.
I want to hear it on the other side. He's Tyler Zilli. I'm Joe Stasak, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Happy Sunday, everybody. Winding the month of June down. Can't believe it. We're almost into July. Seemed like yesterday we were told to not leave our houses. Things have lightened up a little bit. Like I said, I just spent the week in Cape May. I had a phenomenal time with the family. They just opened up the stores right before we got down. So there was like some normalcy down there, and we could have dinner at restaurants that had outdoor seating. It was crowded, but made it work. And June's a good month to go down. It's not overly packed, but the weather was beautiful. Had a phenomenal time, and like I said, things are lightening up a little bit. Still had to wait your turn to get into some stores, and you had to wear your mask. And I'm pretty much done with the mask. I've mentioned that already. My glasses fog up, hard to breathe, I can't talk. You know, it covers my face. You know, I don't want to cover the moneymaker, but it's just, I know, it's a necessary whatever. Don't know how much it's been helping or how much it's prevented the spread, but I guess it's better than going without a net. So I wanted to talk more about the restarts and the validity of the future champions. Can you invalidate a team who wins a championship off of these restarts? If so, why? To me, it's been so long since they played a game. It's almost the equivalent of an entire season by the time they start again. So, like, what are we doing? What's so important that we had to restart, not just wait until the next season came around? It would be safer. Things might be back to more of a sense of normalcy. I think it has been rushed a little bit. And again, when I'm the voice of reason, there's a problem. But I just think that it's going to be a long shot that every one of these restarts makes it to the finish line. This thing is too, it's a lightning rod. And then you'll see some star players get quarantined for 2 weeks. By the way, if you get quarantined for 2 weeks in baseball, that's 20% of the season. 20% of the season if you get quarantined. Then you have, you know, like the 35th man on the roster getting playing time. And like what's the point? I know it's about money for them. Players want to make part of their salary. Owners want to make some money because apparently they'd be losing $4 billion among them if there wasn't a season. Big deal for them. So you had a bad year. Sorry. It happens. So they're going to try to scrounge together a 60-game season. What do you think of that? Is that valid? I know a lot of you baseball purists are probably out of your mind right now, especially with the new rule. Every half inning in extra innings, you start with a man on second base. That's awful. That's changing the integrity of the game. Like, one of the things, hockey does some stupid things. I get it, and I love hockey, and I try to defend it, but sometimes I can't because they do a lot of stupid things. In overtime, they go 3-on-3 in the regular season. First of all, it's wildly entertaining. Second of all, you usually see a winner before a shootout. I don't know if it's brilliant because anyone could have thought of that. It is wildly entertaining 3-on-3 hockey watching professionals. It's like pond hockey. How many odd man rushes, breakaways? Usually you'll see a winner by the end of the 5 minutes. And again, it's entertaining. Now, does it compromise the integrity of the sport? You know, it's supposed to be 5-on-5, 6-on-6 with a goaltender. But I do like that. I love it, actually. I love watching the best players in the game go up and down, up and down, up and down. Feel sorry for the goaltenders. It's like the All-Star game. You know, the finals like 17 to 14, something ridiculous because no one plays defense. But in baseball, it's different when you're actually putting a man on second base who did nothing to deserve that just because you want to speed up the game. Tyler, you're a baseball purist. What do you think of that?
So I have most of these rules that they've implemented, I've resounded myself to. Even the one like Universal DH, I hate that, but I've resounded myself to it. This one, I cannot, and I don't know if I will. You know, it's just not a rule that makes any sense. And you see it, I forget who tweeted it. I want to say it may have been Carl Ravitch, but I don't want to put words in his mouth if it wasn't him. That said, that we saw this in the 2017 World Baseball Classic, and it worked to success. So I went back and I pulled the numbers from the 2017 World Baseball Classic, and they didn't have a game that went more than 11 innings. And I assume that this is a direct example as to why is the set runner on second base. But for me, it totally invalidates the first 9 innings.
Right.
You know, so, and my thing is, too, if you have a runner on second base, like you and I are playing a game against each other, and you have a runner on second base, and you score a run, and that's the only run you score, and then I get a runner on second base, and I score a run. Now, it's not always going to happen, but the likelihood is pretty high, I would think, percentage-wise. We're right back where we started anyway.
Right.
What is the difference if it's 2-2 and there's no runners on, or it's 3-3 and the runner's on? I don't see a difference there.
I don't either.
Pretty stupid rule.
I think it's a stupid rule. And I know they're experimenting, and when the playoffs roll around, that will not be the case. They're trying to speed up the game. I think there are other ways you can do it besides compromising the integrity of the game. I laugh at that one. You know, I don't know how that got approved. That's something the NFL would approve, their competition committee, something stupid like that. So what do you think of that rule? What do you think of the 60-game season as a baseball purist? There are a lot of baseball purists out there that love the game. And are you upset at baseball for the squabbling, the bickering over money? You know, 40 million people unemployed in this country and they're squabbling over millions of dollars. Will this hurt baseball in any way? I never thought these things, work stoppages or strikes actually hurt the bottom line. Eventually, it might, for a season or so, you might have some bitter fans that boycott or protest, but eventually they all come back. How do you feel about the squabbling that baseball went through this year? The fact that they had to implement a 60-game season and when they could have had a much longer season if they came to an agreement a while back but couldn't agree to revenue sharing, and they wanted to cut the players' salaries down further from 50%, and it just went back and forth and back and forth, and you know, it became embarrassing, you know, to the league, I think. How do you feel about that as a baseball fan? Are you offended by what went on? Will it make you not want to watch the games? Will it make you not want to go to the games? Will it make you not want to pay to go see baseball because you're upset with them? Because that's happened in the past. Baseball's gotten hurt a little bit because of some work stoppages and some strikes in the past. But again, eventually, everyone comes back. But I'm just curious because, I mean, they couldn't help the coronavirus and the quarantine this year. But they had an opportunity when no one else was watching anything else to be front and center. And I know fans take it personally because they want to see their sport. They want to see the teams play. They don't want to hear about, you know, bickering over a couple million dollars here or there. Are you offended by what happened with baseball this year? And will it affect you and your interest in watching or going to the game? 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stasiak. 3 more hours to go, 97.5. 10 minutes with Tali coming up in 10 minutes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.